to sing the second verse that says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live
that I want to share with you that I believe the Lord has given to talk about today. And our title is "Division Will Happen If You Walk With Jesus." Division will happen if you walk with Jesus. If we are truly disciples of the Lord and we have his spirit, we're born again, we're soon going to learn that the world isn't very keen on us. It doesn't seem to get on very well with us, and it's simply called light and darkness do not mix. Now, I want to share with you today to encourage you that whatever your circumstances, whatever you may be finding yourself going through in this world, God has a purpose and a reason. And he's making disciples out of us, not just merely church members or some denomination that we belong to. But we are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And indeed, to be able to do this, he has to empower us from on high through the baptism of the Spirit. But let's turn to Luke 12, verses 49 to 53. Luke 12, verses 49 through to 53. And we all know this very well. We've read it many times. And this is where, in the context of what our Lord is speaking about, where he brings division. Who brings division? Jesus. The one you confess and say you love and follow. Division will happen in your life. And here he clearly gives it what happens. And he says in verse 49, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. And of course he's speaking about going to the cross, fulfilling his Father's will. And he goes on here, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. So in other words, he says here, I have not come to deceive you with the peace that the world pursues and looks for. Because the enemy deceives people, thinking that they can have a peaceful, prosperous life in this world. That is the lie of the enemy. He says he hasn't come to do that. And he goes on, from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And so it goes on. So we note where division comes. Now, this division, firstly, is a spiritual division. You have been made and created a new creation in Christ. You are now of his seed. You are now of him. He has purchased and brought each one of us with the greatest price that ever can be paid for mankind. So we are of another spirit. We are not like the world. We are not of them. We are not of their spirit. We are not found in the first Adam, but in the second Adam. So there, spiritually, comes the division, the dividing. And that division is caused by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And we find that God doesn't leave us divided and broken, totally on our own, lost. No, God provides for that division. And that is what I want us to keep in mind as we talk about this. That God will provide in this division, that the new birth brings about in this life. And he has already shown where this division comes. It comes right in our household. It comes right in our family. It comes even in your marriage, or whatever it would be. Light and darkness suddenly has happened. And you can't change it. And don't even try and change it. And so because of this, God provides for this division. And the signs are clearly showing that we're not only divided, we're separated, but as we're moving rapidly toward the end of this dispensation, with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bringing of his kingdom, because I believe we are entering rapidly toward the end. All the signs are clearly showing this. Israel, now a nation, one of the clearest signs. And I could go on with that. So we're going to find this division and God dividing us, keeping us separate from the world and its ways. We're going to find he's going to do even a greater work in these last days, simply because of how subtle the enemy is coming in these last days, that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. The scriptures tell us. So God is going to provide in these conditions that we find ourselves in. And whatever your circumstances, whatever your conditions, whatever, God will provide for this division that he places over our lives. We are divided, we are separated, not to be on our own, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ. With this separation is for fellowship. It is for communion. It is to walk with him. God isn't going to share the world with us and our love and affection for it. And yet we try to do it subtly, but he isn't going to, as I'm going to show. He is a holy God, a righteous God, and he is not going to share that holiness with a defiled world, whose father and God is Satan. He isn't going to do that. We know that light and darkness is in conflict. We know that the final battle will be between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, sometimes we're slow of learning this, because we don't always believe that God will provide for this separation that he requires of us. Let's turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark 13. And we will look at verse 3. And here in the context, it's dealing with the signs and the times of the end of the age. And as we read this, you will see and you know what is happening. We hear it in the news. We see it around us, exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, that would happen in the last days. And let's take it up in verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answering them and began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you." There he opens up, before he even says anything else, "Take heed that no one deceives you with regard to what I'm about to say." And that still applies today to us now, even here in this room. It doesn't change. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." Now, some, of course, have come saying that they are the Christ, but many come preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. But they are deceivers and deceive many. That's what it means. "But when you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet." Well, centuries have been filled with wars and rumours of wars. Our history books are filled with it over nearly 2,000 years. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." Well, of course, we know that we have had two major world wars, World War I and World War II, on a global basis, where there've been small wars between certain nations or whatever. These were world wars, and there is a fundamental difference. And he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. We now are seeing famines and tribulations. We are seeing diseases. All of these things are getting worse and worse. But he says, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. So we see that the church is going to come back again into persecution in these last days. And indeed, we are beginning to see it happening. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. It is amazing that the gospel under persecution will be preached, because persecution often empowers the gospel. Persecution and the gospel reveal the sword of the Spirit. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So the church is being restored back, speaking by the Spirit. The same when Jesus, he in his ministry, his earthly ministry, he said, I only speak that which the Father gives, the Father reveals. And the church is going to experience this again in the last days. That when we open our mouths, we will be inspired by the Spirit. And we are not to try and work out beforehand what we say. I believe the Holy Spirit is restoring this now back through the deeper life teaching. So that we are not to worry what we're to say. God will say it through us. Now, brothers will betray brother to death, and father his children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So there's going to be turmoil, confusion, the love of many waxing cold, even children betraying parents and parents betraying children, and so on. And we are already beginning to see that spirit, that demon working in society, in family life, and so on. It is going to be awful in the last days. Nobody will be able to trust anyone or anything. But God is allowing those conditions so that the humble, the meek, the lowly, the desperate, those in the highways and the byways will find there's only one whom they can trust, and his name is Jesus. So God is allowing all of this to happen for the very purpose for a remnant to be saved. And so much of our trials and what we go through, our separations, they come and come through the house of God. And that is why we're separated unto him. He is separating us from these things that are coming on the world. You don't want to be you don't want to be with people and fellowshipping with people where brother is betraying brother to death, and father and child and children and so on, and parents quarreling, arguing, bickering. You don't want to be in that environment. What fellowship do you have in all of that? That is the question. And that is why he separates us from all of that. This is why we come together in true unity and fellowship and oneness under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we have harmony and oneness. This is where God meets with us. We cannot get this in the world. And yet at times we still look for it. You see, Jesus' peace that he gives us is not of this world. It's an eternal peace. This peace is fellowship with him and each other. That is the peace that is generated through all of this. And yet, why do we still look to the world that it can give us this peace? It can only give you a peace just for a while, for a season. That's all it can give. But our lives are now united with the Prince of Peace. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel, our walk with the Lord, the new life that he's given us in Christ Jesus. What does he say in Matthew 10 and verse 34? Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 34. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Well, that's what they did with the Lord. So I was reading that from Mark. Sorry about that. Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So why does that offend us still? Why does it worry us, upset us? Why are we so concerned what our family think or think about us? Or what people out in the world think about us? Why does it still bother us? And that we compromise just to keep them quiet or to go along with them? And we all do it. And yet he clearly says here, I brought a sword. And we've got that sword and that separates us. He said, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I'm not. I've brought a sword with me. So he has to deal with that false peace. That peace that deceives us. That beguiles us. That can try and draw us away. He says, I have to bring my sword to deal with that. Because religion is looking for that peace. The ecumenical movement is looking for that peace, for that false unity, that oneness, where they all unite, where we can all have peace and harmony and so on. Jesus says, no, I have a sword. And I'm dividing that. And he's divided that over your life and my life. And praise God, that's why we're here today, tonight, in this room. Because that sword has worked in your life, your family. And it has separated you. And is separating you. Because you are separated unto holiness. And God is not going to share that with the world who pursues a false peace. You see, this division that God uses and works is for one purpose. And it doesn't take much working out. It's so that we get closer to him. This division in your life is that you get closer and closer to Him. That is why we preach the deeper life, that open door that you go through in the Spirit, and you can go as far and as deep as you want in fellowship with Him. You see, if people aren't really walking with the Lord Jesus, then it's a clear sign that they are battling, they are resisting this separation. And in time, they simply become a hindrance. And the hindrance is because they become worldly. And they pick up worldly things and they try to make the worldly things spiritual. They try to mix it with the Word of God. That is what the liberal gospel does. That's what, sadly, a lot of the contemporary churches do, because they compromise. And it's like these little fiery darts, this poison that's added to the purity of God's word. He isn't going to have it. That is why he separates us, and he does it with the sword of the Spirit, which we know, of course, is also the Word of God. And I know at times this separation can be heartbreaking. It can be heartbreaking to see division. Those that you love. It can be hard to see division, even in the house of God. Those who confess the Lord's name. And yet, there's that resistance to be separated to God. And that's why we call on God's strength to help us. I know at times it's not easy. We experienced division in our family when we started to become disciples of Christ. Not always easy. But the presence of God way overrides those experiences. And you know that the Lord is with you, strengthening you. We believe for the salvation of our loved ones. We know that because it's in Scripture. We can believe for them. But it doesn't mean that we compromise with it in order that they make it into the kingdom of God. Very often you have to let go of all these emotional ties. Then God begins to work with our loved ones. So often we're the hindrance. God forbid that we could be the hindrance of stopping them entering the kingdom of God because of our emotions, our unbelief. No, God says, hand them over, leave them with me, and I will do that work. And he does. You know, there are times that we have to learn in our training and our overcoming to be on our own with him. I think the thought of being on our own with God is fearful for some. And yet that should be something that we desire, that we long for more, if we're really, really in love with the Lord. That shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be a problem if God sets us aside for a season to be on our own, you and him. That shouldn't be a problem, yet it still is at times. You know, something that God spoke into my heart, where in verse 34, I'll read it again. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I felt impressed. The Lord said to me, do we bear the marks of God's sword? Are we marked by that sword? That is a good question. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to those who fight with the sword will die with the sword. Well, are we marked with that sword? Has it done that dividing work in our lives? Well, we will know in time, because we'll see where our heart and our affections lie. That's the good giveaway. And that's why division brings us closer to Him. It's not to divide you, to make you more holy, to cloister you, to make a nun or a monk out of you. That's not what we're talking about. We still live in this world. We still go to work. We still go and shop. We still meet with people. We're dealing with where the affection of our heart lies. Sadly, many who cloister themselves go into nunneries or monasteries. Their hearts are still lusting for the world. We're talking about God doing that work, that change in the heart. You know, there are quite a number of scriptures, but I want to highlight some with regard to the fact that division will happen if you walk with Jesus. Let's turn to some of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34. 33 and 34 of 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And that will always be the hindrance. If you are still with evil company and spend a lot of time with evil company, you will not have this knowledge of God. God does not want to fellowship with these people that at times we still spend too much time with. And that is why we do not get the knowledge of God as we should. It hinders. That is why the apostle says that evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, morals. We start to compromise. We're no longer alarmed by the things that the world does or whatever it is. Somehow we sort of just go along with how the world goes along with it. He says we need to awake to righteousness. As He is righteous, so we are righteous. He has made us righteous. In other words, He's given us that right stand before Him. He's paid the price that you can now stand right without sin before Almighty God, your Father. That's what He's done. The world doesn't have that. And that is the difference. We also see in Psalm 26, Psalm 26, verses 4 to 8, Psalm 26, verses 4 to 8, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So he loves the house of God, where the Lord dwells, where the saints come together, in comparison to the idolatrous world, the mortals, back in verse 4. And he says, I will not go with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And yet we do at times, don't we? We go along with it and we sit with them. The hypocrites, the idolatrous. Brothers and sisters, we may need to ask God to put a hate in our heart for this. Not to hate them, but to hate what they love and they boast in and carouse in and they fellowship in. We're not to be a part of that. As what the psalmist says. And he says, I will wash my hands in innocence. In other words, he's coming, I wash myself of this. I don't want it. Wash me by the blood of the Lamb. So I will go about your altar, O Lord. In other words, I will seek your will, your way, the things that please you, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works. That's what he wants to talk about. That's what he wants to hear. He wants to give God the praise and the glory. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. This is why we should love coming together. It's important we come together in fellowship and unity. We allow so many things to stop us from doing this. A lot of it comes from family. They want you to do what they want you to do. What's working through them doesn't want you dwelling in the house of God. The angel comes, the devil comes like an angel of light. But praise God, the good news is God has brought that sword to separate. And he's not going to give us any rest, any peace in this, till we come back like the psalmist here. I cannot be with their idolatrous ways. I cannot stomach their hypocrisies, their gossip, their criticism anymore. And sometimes it requires that God puts a hate in our heart for this. How about Proverbs? Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24-25. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you're with people who are losing their temper every 5 minutes. I mean, none of us want to be with people who are angry all the time, but it doesn't work always that way. Satan is very clever, very beguiling, and we can spend time with these people who get angry, aggressive about many things. They're critical, always going on about someone or politics or government or the boss at work or whatever it is. You're constantly hearing this going on. And what does it do? You start to learn these ways. You start to take it on board. And you start talking about it. We need to be careful even when we listen to the news or we read the newspaper. Don't take it on board. We don't talk like the world talks and what they're criticizing and shooting down. No, we don't do that. We're not to learn those ways. Why? Because it's going to set a snare, a trap for your soul. And that trap, that snare, is it's going to deceive you, where you will no longer start hearing God. And you become confused. And you can't discern anymore. These are all warnings to us, brothers and sisters. And that's why the Lord's preserving us. That is why he separates us unto himself, unto holiness. You do not belong to this world. You have been purchased with a great price. This is why we look upwards. We are become heavenly minded. We are seeking the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Otherwise, you're not going to enjoy yourself in heaven. It's not going to be what you really thought it was. And as I close with this, it doesn't mean to say that God doesn't bless us. Of course he does. But we need to be on our guards, who we are befriending, who we go on holiday with, who we spend a lot of time with. Because the point is, at the end of the day, they are not lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't love the one that you serve and follow and have given your life and heart to. And that is the point. And we don't really have a lot in common with them, because they love the world. And that is why God is getting the world out of our hearts, so that we are solely separated in our hearts unto him. And then God can use us. We will find that we're able to be taken or brought amongst certain people where they don't have an influence and control on us. And we can be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever he gives us, whatever message he gives us, or whatever ministry he calls us to and for. Maybe some of our ministries yet have not fully manifested because the world still is too strong in the heart. God will not share his love with two worlds and two kingdoms and two gods. He will not do that. He is jealous, and he is jealous for his glory and his name. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us, empowering us to separate us unto him, unto holiness, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will and he can fulfill everything and more you ever thought of. That's why it says, neither eye nor ear, nor anything that's entered into the heart of man can compare with the things that he has prepared for us through Jesus Christ. We can't even begin to comprehend what our fellowship, our unity and oneness is bringing and will bring. And finally, what an anchoring that will be. What stability that will be. What confidence that will give us in the Lord Jesus Christ when we go out in that world knowing that it's not going to influence us or cause us to compromise or to go back in fear or whatever it is. This is why he's raising us up in that boldness in these last days. Because if he cannot do this with the sons of God, then he cannot do it with anyone. Well, there we are. Division will happen if we walk with Jesus. Don't be surprised. Don't be offended. Count it all joy. Praise the Lord, because God never makes a mistake. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows how to preserve and keep us unspotted in this world for his glory. Heavenly Father, again we thank you, Lord. You have challenged us. You have shown us again the cost of being a disciple of Christ. But Lord, we ask for your grace and your mercy. We ask that you will help us. Where we still love the world too much, Father, put a hate within our hearts. And Lord, whatever it takes, Father, do it. So that we walk each day in fellowship, in covenant with you. And we draw all our life, our strength, our whole being comes from you. Through that fellowship. Father, we know that this cannot be achieved in the natural. This is why it takes the precious anointing, the precious Holy Spirit, who's come along to help and guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to empower us, and to speak through us. Father, I thank you for our fellowship today. Thank you for the saints who've come into the room. Lord, be with them, bless them, preserve and keep them. Always, I ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Shout aloud for